You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week we talk about Vink's trip to America, the steak bet dinner, and we finally get through our backlog of voicemails.
Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
What's it like to be back in the Land of the Rising Sun?
Well, it's the same. I mean, I don't know. I'm still pretty jet-lagged right now. I'm feeling real tired, though it's like mid-afternoon here.
Right? Well, you know, we were up pretty late when you were here, so.
I guess,
we
yeah.
Got a lot done.
We did get a lot done. What did we say? We got clips for what's going to come turn into 4-5 episodes?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yep. It'll be great.
It will, but...
Probably.
Let's lower the expectations a little bit, because I just remembered what some of those clips were.
true.
Yeah, I think our audience will be divided on some of these.
I see. Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm back. I'm starting to recover. It was a really short trip to the United States. And sorry for those people who were reaching out saying, oh, we should do some kind of event like when I was here. And how many years ago was that now? 3.5, something like that?
When you were here for the Madison Underground thing?
Yeah, the Dojo Live event, yeah.
Right, yeah, that was 3 years and a couple months.
You know, I'm probably going to be back in August. We should see if we can set something up.
That's not really a thing anymore.
What? Madison Underground?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be there.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, yeah,
we're big enough to fill a stadium by ourselves, right?
With blackjack and hookers. Actually, if you hear it around the right time of year, we could just do it at GeekCon.
Ooh. I don't know. When is GeekCon?
God. It'd be good. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure it would, but like... I've never been able to time it with GeekCon before, and I don't see why this year would be any different. But
all right, fair enough. But hey, that'll be just after our 10-year anniversary. Oh, God.
Ah, the anniversary of when we got tenure. Oh, 10-year. Oh, that's slightly more depressing.
Indeed. Well, I mean, we had a good time when you were here. Like I said, we filmed a few things, but most importantly, we finally... We're able to partake in the fruits of the steak bet.
Yes. And thank you for being such a good sport and buying me that steak since I was correct. I don't remember which thing I was correct about, but...
And thank you also for buying me a steak for the thing I was right about, whatever that was.
Well, you know, that's how we gentlemen play games, like steak bet. I don't know. It worked out in my favor. That was a good steak.
Mm-hmm. Really, it was like a nice, New York, was it tenderloin? What was it? New York something.
Something like that. New York strip and with blue cheese melted on top.
Right?
And
some
very nice, really thick onion rings. And that was the night we ate poutine as well, isn't it?
Yep. We had to honor our friends in Canada.
Yep. Derek, that one was
reasons.
For you. Not just we have a number of really cool Canadian
yep.
fans.
Adam, Darren, I don't know if he's a fan, but he friended me on Facebook.
Mr. Satoshi Matrix.
Indeed. They're
although
right.
I don't know if all these Canadians like poutine, but it was still for you guys.
Right. You know, just like if we had a Foster's for our Australian friends, I'm sure they would love that.
Yes. But anyway, pandering aside.
Oh, yeah. Failed pandering aside.
So we should probably give people an update on what we're working on then.
Yeah. So we are working on a slate of new videos.
Yep.
We did a few while you were here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if like we're gonna like hit those up earlier or if we're gonna roll them in somehow. Like, you know, why wait if we can if we can work on them? But I really want to focus on like other projects we've been putting off to the side for a few years. Kickstarter. You know,
I was about to have the same cough.
Indeed. Oh man, see, it's contagious. It's just you visit the States and you get the cough. You know, it's just very.
I have been responding to so many requests for people who want Famicom Dojo T-shirts.
Okay.
I know. By the way, thank you. That is the biggest compliment we ever receive is when people are like, we want to wear you.
Right. You know? Well, we could probably fulfill that request before long, because now that we're partnered with Screamway Media, that we have an in to some hopefully pretty decent T-shirts.
I know, but
so.
the standard response I usually give to people is just wait for the Kickstarter because you know. But you know what? I think whatever T-shirt we make for the Kickstarter is going to probably be a Kickstarter exclusive anyway.
It'll be unique.
I think we should try to get working on something to get those people who have been waiting for numerous years to pick up something. I mean, we do have the Zazzle store, but
The sales come through there occasionally when people find it. But I have no idea if or when we'll ever get paid. Whatever. It's built up to now. So I wouldn't recommend that. So I think there's enough pent up T-shirt demand that we could probably get a few varieties out there and still get people excited for a Kickstarter.
So just be looking forward to updates on that.
Yeah. But we're also planning, you know, a more specific video release that will occur ideally around the same time.
Nice.
Let's just leave that there. Okay. What else happened? Oh, you forced me to buy a 2600.
Forced. Whatever.
Forced. It was very imperative that we were able to have one for a game you forgot to bring with you.
I did not know we were going to be making that video today. I mean that day. I mean,
sure.
But
well, it wasn't my idea.
That's true. It wasn't. I wanted to get a 2600 for myself, but then all they had was these giant ones, and I can't bring something like that back.
Right. Well, there's that smaller one, but there's only the one power adapter, as it turned out. Yeah. But you know, I don't want to talk about this too much because I'm sure we'll get to this. You know, let's talk about this next episode.
Yeah, let's talk about that next
because
episode.
Because there's enough came out of this experience, and things have happened since then that I feel like we can talk about it some more.
Okay. So. Tune in next episode for more on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see what else happened. Okay, so I got there. Oh, maybe people don't even know why I was in America.
Right, that would probably be helpful.
Oh yeah. One of my best friends from school and my roommate in college, he got married inexplicably.
And I'm pretty sure it was not much of a surprise to the.
No, brother. It wasn't. No. He'd been engaged for quite a while. But the wedding wasn't a surprise on his part. But the fact that he was getting married surprised a lot of us. But anyway,
indeed.
So I was in Wisconsin for a wedding anyway, and that's why else would I have come back to Wisconsin in November? You know, although. It was unseasonably warm. It was very nice, actually. It was.
It still is.
If only it was a little colder, we wouldn't have made that video. Or no. No, we probably still would have made it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was back for that, but it was a really, really, really short trip. I was only in the States for about 6 days. And that's why we didn't have any like other big event or anything. And for those who might be listening, who live in that area and wonder why I didn't try to make contact with everyone, I was just not there for very long. And so, Sean, you probably are the one I was able to visit the longest.
Well, I feel honored, sir.
And that includes family, which I realized were waiting for me that day we were filming.
It seemed like they didn't really communicate that very well.
No. But anyway, So I got to your place what, around 3 o'clock, something like that? Earlier. No, earlier, because we had lunch, about 12.
Yeah, no, we didn't start working on anything until about 3.
That's true, but we had to eat, which is important.
Yes. I took you to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes, you did.
For some reason, and then we ate a lot of spicy food for some reason, and that really helped the filming, I think.
I imagine so. That was interesting. And I realized I was looking through my Twitter feed, and I only did like a few tweets the entire trip, and most of them were of you eating something. So I apologize to everyone who is expecting more.
That's just a taste. A tease, if you will.
Indeed. So we got spicy wings, and we ate those while watching thousands of televisions. I can't be the only one who was thinking, like, would anybody have minded if I just, like, hooked up a video game system to one of these TVs? They can't be watching all of them.
No, and they had those, like, pads out for, like, playing their dumb little trivia games that anyone can win. A 5-year-old could probably beat. My son could probably beat it.
I gotta say that I was surprised when I walked in how much, like, they were advertising Titanfall 2. Like, I guess this happens in the States now, but, I mean, it happens in Japan all the time that there'll be some big tie-in. Like, when a new Dragon Quest game comes out, like, there'll be a tie-in with the supermarkets and stuff, and they'll have all of this, you know, or a new Final Fantasy game comes out, the drink manufacturers will release a potion or something like that as a limited time drink. But I never remember that sort of stuff happening in the United States. But we were there, and like the wrapper that our wings came in said Titanfall 2, and they had all these posters and, you know, all what was it, the table tent, you know, the like triangle thing on our tent was also advertising the game, which I hear is pretty good. I hear it's a pretty good game, but not really my cup of tea. But I don't know. I think gaming might have gone mainstream, Sean.
What?
I think gaming went mainstream.
No.
Yeah, maybe? I think so.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
Or I don't know. Can you make fun of anyone for being a gamer anymore if they're advertising video games at Buffalo Wild Wings? I mean, right? Like, there can't be any, like, you know, when I was young, I was like, oh, nerd, you like video games. But now, like, anything that can be associated with Buffalo Wild Wings can't be nerdy anymore, right? Or is Buffalo
delicious?
Or has Buffalo Wild Wings become nerdy? Ah, that could
No. I mean, the place was filled with like football, and I guess baseball was over by that point. But you know, hockey plays in there. You know, it's no.
I don't know.
Now, if they played video games or those things, that'd be different.
Yeah. Well, who knows? If esports take off, maybe that'll be on some of their numerous TVs.
Next time. Maybe next time we'll go to Culver's after all.
Butter Burgers.
Yeah, it's overrated, but the fries are pretty good.
Okay.
Welcome to the Foodcast, everyone.
Yes. I'm your host, Vink Spork. I don't know why I would associate a spork with being a quality foodie name.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Well, then we went off into something really ridiculous before we lost the light, and well, we'll see if that sees the light of day. No pun intended.
Oh, my goodness.
I still have to do some pickups on that, so should probably do that before it gets too cold.
Yeah, actually.
Didn't have any time this weekend.
Without giving too much away.
Yes.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe we can, I just wanted to share the comments from the passers-by.
Yes, I had reprised the Summer Doja outfit unseasonably so, and okay, that should be enough context.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I think that should be it. But I don't know. We were out on a very pedestrian, nay, conservative street, I would suppose, and wearing some fairly ridiculous getup. Well, he was. I was actually. I was going to say I was the straight man, but then it ruins the story. What was it? Someone was like playing acoustic music through an open window in one part, and I'm like, we are in the wrong place for doing this.
Is there a right place, though?
A group of people walked past, and they said, and one of them said something that is indistinguishable to me, but I heard the response, which was, oh, I think they're a couple.
I did not hear this, so I'm going completely on Vink's word.
Nope. So, yep. And then they kind of, like, hurriedly walked away. So, there we go.
All right.
Man, that story's not nearly as interesting upon retelling.
Maybe we'll cut it.
Perhaps we will.
But no, we hit up a video game store, which I'm sure we'll discuss in a future podcast.
Yes.
And filmed a whole bunch of video back at the Sean Cave, the That's Orange Studios, or whatever the heck you want to call it. And that will be coming out in some form or another.
Yep. Yeah, and we actually filmed a little bit of footage at the original Vink home, which makes it the first on-screen appearance.
Although that's true, because
we recorded our commentary there. But
yeah, the season one DVD commentary was indeed recorded there. I think we're probably going to use not require you to be in the States for the next one.
Yeah, probably not. Gosh, how that was a long time ago now.
That was yep. Time for another disc, I think.
Yep.
Past
Austin
time.
Powers is 19 years old.
Listen, you. Yeah, we had this discussion over the steak bet, and apparently that was just a year after the N64 was released, and you made the comment that people saw Super Nintendo's or Genesai predominantly in their homes at the time that movie came out, and I find that hard to believe for some reason.
Yep.
But there you go.
I know. Just ridiculous.
These are my teenage years, and they all kind of just seem like one long, never-ending summer.
Oh, man. All right.
On that note, let's take some questions from the listeners.
Hooray!
If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast@famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
We've been plumbing the archives because we haven't actually answered any voicemail questions in a while, so this first one's from April of this year.
All right. I thought it was from someone named April. Okay, got
no.
it.
Okay. No, it's from someone named Dan in the month of April.
Ah, I see.
Hey, guys, just wanted to call you guys to give you a little response to your Pokemon discussion on the Rumors podcast episode.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's really weird how the whole Mew and Mewtwo thing works, because Mew was the Pokemon that was added into the game secretly and was the secret 151st Pokemon, while Mewtwo was Pokemon number 150. But if you're going by the logic of the game and the anime story, Mew was the original Pokemon, and Mewtwo was created from the DNA of Mew. So, yeah, don't ask me how that got mixed up or why they did that, but anyway, yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and let you guys know on that before you had a bunch of angry Pokemon fans coming banging down your door on why you were having so much trouble with this information. But,
oh God, too late.
Hey, at least it's not as bad as how much you guys were pissing off the Final Fantasy fan base by calling Aerith Aerith. pissing? Can I say pissing? I don't know. If I can, then whatever. But if I can't, this is going to sound really awkward getting censored on the podcast. But okay, anyway, guys, thanks for listening. I'm going to go back to playing Pokken Tournament. Bye-bye.
Is that Aerith thing settled? Like what's the basis for that pronunciation?
Well, let's see. It's because sometimes when they localize Japanese, like you know, katakana words,
mm-hmm.
they try to make it like sound a little more natural. Sometimes mm-hmm. they remove some of the vowel sounds. They did the same thing with like Magic Knight Rayearth. Mm-hmm. When they localized for the Sega Saturn, like they turned like Zelgato into Zelgat, but mm-hmm. I don't. But I think the anime was released like after the game. I don't know. This is all foggy
memory. I understand
memory.
There's no sound in Japanese, so I understand that part of it. But like, what is it about that name makes people think that that's the proper pronunciation? Like, what are they localizing it from that makes them think it should be pronounced that way?
Well, I think that like when like the Final Fantasy movie came out, they like retconned it. I'm not sure.
Because in the game, isn't it with an S? Like the English spelling of her name?
I think so.
Okay.
No. Wait. I don't know. Oh no, we're doing it again.
Yep, here we go. All right, Pokemon. So my excuse for this is this. Like, you know, what is the body responsible for numbering the Pokemon, right? It makes sense that some secret government agency made Mewtwo and like someone ran into him in the wild or whatever. A voice by Scott McNeil, by the way, at least in the English version.
There you go.
Canadian. Here's some poutine for you, sir. God, this is terrible. I've met Scott McNeil a few times at BotCons in the past, and he's a cool dude. Awesome cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Anyway, it would make sense to me that like if you know Mew was like a legendary or like relatively unknown Pokemon that they wouldn't run into him, you know, before like say some explosion at a government facility meant that someone got their eyes on this Mewtwo figure. So, deductive reasoning means that there must be 150 first Pokemon we haven't discovered yet. You know, kind of like when you look through the periodic table and you're like, hey, there must be an element with this many protons.
I guess.
That's my excuse. All right, let's move
on.
I don't know.
What I get from this is that I don't know. Some Pokemon have dumb names, and you can retcon it all you want.
All right, we got another one. I don't know if it's from the same Dan or a different Dan, but this is from June.
All right.
Hey guys, it's Dan, and I just wanted to let you guys know that in preparation for E3 this year, I went back and listened to some of your old podcasts.
Oh, no.
One of which was the 2015 Everything We Were Wrong About one.
Oh, no.
And in that one, I heard Sean talking about how he wanted to get an Xbox One, with one of the reasons being that he wanted to transfer all of his songs and instruments to Rock Band 4 for Xbox One.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, oh, no, please don't do that. I don't remember you guys updating on this in any of your later podcasts, but Sean, if you're thinking about this, don't do it. Rock Band 4 is a terrible, terrible game. You're better off just keeping your Xbox 360 and Rock Band 3 and keeping all your content there. And also, since you have a 360, it's actually pretty easy to mod your version of Rock Band 3 so that you can put custom songs on it, which is what I ended up doing. But don't make the same mistake I made. I bought a PS4 for the primary reason to transfer all my Rock Band stuff over to Rock Band 4, and I was very disappointed on how bad the game was. So, again, I don't know if you're still thinking about this or if you already got an Xbox One. But if you want to get an Xbox One for the sole purpose of transferring your Rock Band stuff, don't do it. Just saying.
Well, I mean, E3 and later made that a little more difficult because of the Xbox One S and, of course, the PS4 Pro, etc. So, you know, if you're going to go in, do you just go in as cheaply as you possibly can and hopefully that hope for the best there or what? I still haven't found any compelling reason to get an Xbox One, and I'm definitely not going to get a PS4 Pro because my PS4 is working just fine for me right now. Thank you very much. But I have gotten to play Rock Band 4 since like a year ago or so when I saw it on sale around this time of year when I was picking up my Lego Dimensions copy, which I did not convince you to buy while you were here, sadly.
You didn't try very hard while I was here.
It's true. We had a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But I apparently the PS4 version has a Supergirl exclusive character minifigure. So I didn't realize that. Thanks, Megan. Friend of the show, Megan.
All right.
I got to play Rock Band on an Xbox One. So that whole thing about the music transfer does work, of course. And it was a lot of fun. Of course, I was a few sheets to the wind thanks to a bear attack. No, that was the Friday night before. Never mind. I had no excuse then. But no, it was the same night. It was both nights, really. It was at the Nerd and Tie Expo. Right. So I was a guest of honor there, and I had to, you know, show my stuff. I guess they officially had karaoke at one of those nights. And did I try? Yeah, I don't think I ever got to sing a song because it never came up, or I got to and it was just so late I didn't care anymore. One of those two things. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. I'm sure it's on video somewhere, and I really got to belt out my perennial favorite, Under Pressure. And I believe I was Freddie Mercury for that one. Yeah, someone else did Bowie because his stuff's lower. But I think I did some Heart songs. I forget what else. It was great, great stuff. And I really can't share the feeling that the game wasn't that good. But again, I didn't have full control of my faculties to properly address any potential shortcomings in the game. And just had a lot of fun playing.
You're too invested. That's the problem. You can't see the faults in it, because I've been to your house now and I see all the plastic controllers and crap you have for that. So
I would still play this game if I didn't have kids and people I would wake up.
Yeah. Or didn't care.
Or didn't care. True. True. So I still don't have Rock Band 4. I'm not terribly interested. I'm not going to spend a lot of money on the game I can't play anyway. I'd rather buy an NES Mini.
The NES Mini. So is it still sold out?
As far as I know.
I have gotten, at least a dozen people have contacted me about getting a Famicom Mini for them. And same situation here. They're going, you know, they're selling the brand new ones, you know, from like third party sellers. They're going for around $200 right now.
Good grief.
So sorry for everyone listening. I will be happy to try to pick you up one, but I can't even get one for myself right now, and I want one. So and I have to get one for Sean too, because he's getting me an NES Mini if that ever happens.
Right.
Yep.
All right, moving on. We got one from July. A couple of days before our 9th anniversary. It's Jody from 4CR.
Yay.
Hi, this is Jody. I am calling because I had a question. I recently picked up a square button Famicom, and it is real. And I was wondering if it was worth it these days to pick up a Famicom disk system, being somebody that does not have a single Famicom disk system game or anything. Just wondering about magnetic media and all that, and wonder if it's worth it these days, or if it's just something that's going to be dying pretty soon, and I should just worry about cutting cartridges. Thanks.
It will literally be dying soon. Literally dying.
I guess. I don't know. Like, I have over 300 discs for Famicom disk system right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Made that many? That's insane.
No, though, they're not 300 unique discs.
Oh, that makes it better.
I got a ton of duplicates. You know, because I'm trying to get full cased versions of all of them. Okay. But
I do have like 10 copies of Zelda. So.
Yeah, I do. No, not 10. Like 5.
No, I do.
Okay. Anyway. But I have about 150 unique titles, which comprises a little more than half of the library. I have pretty much everything common, but there's some that were released incredibly limited editions that are going to be hard for me to pick up. But anyway, and I went through them all last year, and you know, most of them are a good, you know, some of them are up to 20 years old right now. And none that were working the last time I tested everything, which was about 5 years ago, have since degenerated to unplayable. You know, like I keep them in good condition. I keep them on their side, you know, away from any magnets and everything, and you know, as static free as possible. And I haven't lost any, so. They say that the average lifespan of magnetic media is 10 years, but I find that to be fully untrue. I still have a lot of Apple II diskettes that work with no problem, and I'm sure a lot of other people who collect classic computers will find that as well. I think that, I mean, they're definitely more fragile, and they do have a lifespan. I mean, I'm not making the statement that they're going to last forever. Obviously, they won't. But what's nice about the disk system is if you can get yourself two disk systems and have a bit of a rewriter, you can write over these again until the media itself fails.
Right, and that's hard to know. Well, I guess you have the disk checker, maybe. But
yeah, I got the disk checker, so.
Oh man!
But even without a disc checker, you know, basically there's a lot of the games load the whole game into memory at first shot, so it either works or it doesn't. And for the ones that do, you know, further reads later, you know, usually, I don't know, it's usually pretty easy to tell right away if something's going to work or something's not. But I don't know. I say that at this time. Getting a disk system is still reasonable and cool.
Yeah, but well, there's no point in waiting.
But like, yeah, don't wait. But like, if you're collecting them to be archived forever, that's not really the way to go. A lot of the best of the Famicom disk system games have been re-released on cartridge for the Game Boy Advance. You have a couple of those, right, Sean?
I just have Zelda 2.
Oh, really? Okay, I got a few of them, and you know, a lot of them have also been released for Virtual Console or, you know, things like that, if you just want to play them. But I still think, I don't know, I love the sound that comes through a disc system. I like the format of the discs. They're not ridiculously expensive right now for most things. Like, you can get Super Mario Brothers 2 on a Famicom disc cheaper than you can get Super Mario 3, you know?
Oh, sure.
So, I don't know. I would say that it's still worthwhile to get, but have your expectations coming in and buy from sellers who offer you 90 days to return something if it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got yelled at once for, not yelled at, but I cautioned over YouTube that I shouldn't have bought a disk system game that I wasn't able to personally test because, you know, there's no guarantee it would actually work. And I was like, ha, joke's on them. I'm not even actually going to play it for years.
Yeah. And so. That's the thing. I mean, and I... For most good sellers, like most of the shops that I buy from, the game that's going to be on the disc is going to be what's on the label, because most of them do check before. It's when you buy from a shop that really doesn't have any idea what the game, what disc system even is, that you might find ones that are wrong. But the prices you usually pay for those are so low, it's worth the risk.
Indeed. All right, shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay. Next up, our final voicemail is actually very recently and was after our previous Denchi Mail episode from Trey, the aforementioned organizer, co-organizer, co-host of Nerd and Tie.
All right.
Hi, so this is Trey Dorn of the Nerd and Tie podcast, nerdandtie.com, and I was listening to Famicom Dojo, and you mentioned that no one ever called this number. And so I've decided to call this number and explain to you exactly why nobody ever calls this number. The reason is, I'm fairly certain, is that Sean only owns one money hat, as far as anyone knows, and that he must purchase at least 6 to 7 more money hats before anyone is willing to call. Why is this the reason? I don't know. It just seemed to be the thing that came to the top of my head, also because now I can only see Sean in a money hat ever since I saw him the first time in a money hat and while wearing socks with sandals. Now, the socks with sandals had happened previously on many, many, many occasions. However, with the money hat, it became a classic look that I think will be next summer's new summer trend. Also, that's you should listen to Nerd and Tie at nerdandtie.com. Also, I am totally wearing pants right now. Trust me.
There are so many lies in this in this. I was gonna say in this voicemail, but in this advertisement that is coming across.
Indeed,
for Nerd
indeed.
And Tie, there are so many lies. First of all, people do use the voicemail. Dan used it twice. Second of all, that man is clearly not wearing pants.
Third
of all,
I can attest
that Sean owns more than one money hat.
That's right. And if you are paying attention in the Summer Dojo promo, you saw all of them.
I was not paying attention to that.
Well, I'm glad Trey brought that up because I was having a hard time finding a way to break into the conversation that I actually found one I thought I might have left behind during our shoot.
Oh, really?
So I literally just looked over and saw it on the floor here. So it's perfect. It's fine. I looked over to my other side to see where the other one was that looks just like it, and it's there. So I verified I, again, have my full complement of money hats. It is not quite 6, but it is close. So next time I go to Bratfest and I play that dart game, I'm going to make sure to get at least a couple more. Although I think on average I spent like about $15 on these things. So is it really worth it? I don't know. But the point
Where is Bratfest?
Bratfest is in Madison, Wisconsin on Memorial Day weekend.
All right. The Livin' Maddie has lied to me once again.
Oh, no, that was the Cheddar Bratfest or whatever it was called, right?
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
So different.
But this also brings up that I wore this getup for the video portion of my panels at the Nerd and Tie Expo.
Okay.
And Trey decided to show up for that and saw the full horror. It's also kind of a preview for the video that we're going to be doing. You know what? It's pointless to just discuss, so we'll just show you guys later if and when we get it put together. But that does remind me, though, that DaishoCon is coming up.
Hooray!
The week before Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving. My wonderful and talented co-guest at Nerd and Tie, Helena Steele, will be there, last I heard, and I hope to run into her again, although I heard that she is trying to catch James Marster's eye with a sufficient amount of underboob.
All right.
Her words, not mine.
Not sure who that person is, but...
Well, I mean, just go to nerdandtie.com/expo.
I know who Helena is, but who is she trying to catch the eye of?
Spike from Buffy, Brainiac from Smallville.
Try again.
No, you didn't watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, James Marsters.
I watched at least 6 episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, God. All right.
Are there more than 6?
DaishoCon. It's moved. Why did they move it .org? That's a really good question. Ian Sinclair. I'm just advertising.
DaishoDorg.
Brina Palencia. The badges are available. I think I paid for mine already. New Daisho site. Ian Sinclair. Well, where the heck are your guests? Where is your guest list? DaishoCon people.
DaishoCon.org. It's .com.
You're right. Aaron Zek, Bad Corey. Hateful Boyfriend as a guest? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, James Marsters is actor. Let's see what they say his filmography is. He also used to be in a band, and I had a disc of like his bootleg stuff where he did a cover of, oh, what was it? I can't remember anymore. But it was pretty cool. Oh, there we go. James Marsters may be best known for the role of Spike, the cult favorite punk goth vampire. He played for 6 seasons on the series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Right. And on the final season of the spinoff show Angel, he is a headlining fan favorite at conventions worldwide, honoring the show and sci-fi genre. Blah, 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 blah. Smallville, Brainiac, I already mentioned that. And Torchwood, yep. Wait.
Wait, what? He was in Torchwood?
He has also seen his recurring role on the hit BBC American show Torchwood, playing the ruthless, sexually deviant Captain John Marsters. Oh, he was. He was. So when they had that encore season, I think he was in that. Oh, I don't remember.
Encore?
CBS
Stars?
Series, Stars, whatever. Yeah, Stars. CBS series Without a Trace, Sci-Fi Channel series Warehouse 13, huh. USA Network's original movie Cool Money. I don't know. He did a live-action adaptation of Dragon Ball?
Ugh.
Apparently. He played Lord Piccolo. I did not know that. I've heard things about that movie from my Powit brethren. Oh boy. I mean, if you don't know who James Marsters is and you're not excited by, you know, if you don't want to show him your underboob, I guess it's just your loss.
I will, though. All right. I'll tell you what. If you'll stop talking about him, if I ever run into him in person, I will show him my underboob.
All right. Fantastic.
There. Settled.
Great.
Mark that on the record of the steak and underboob bets.
Oh, God, no. All right, so that's all we had for our voicemails. So please call in, if you would, with your own voicemail at 608-492-1923 and tell us why no one ever calls that number. I did check to make sure it worked because someone on Facebook or somewhere mentioned, hey, I tried to call your number and it didn't work. Then I called it for a test, which I will not play for you, and it worked just fine. And then Trey called also, so that also proves it works just fine. But we had a few questions from Facebook.
Yay!
Just today that we should also
any haikus
discuss. No haikus.
What do
I
you
would
mean
love,
no haikus?
I would love another haiku. We haven't had one in forever.
Why are we not getting any haikus?
If you have a haiku, please send us a haiku at famicondojo.tv. Or was it a podcast at famicondojo.tv. Put it on Facebook, Twitter. Call us at 608-492-1923. Which we'll repeat again in the canned part of the advertising for the Dead Gmail, if you didn't catch it just then. Sorry, before I read that, I had one from Luis Salamos, because he sent us one many, many moons ago and asked us at least twice if we would read it on the show. So
right.
I'm going
Let's
to read
that.
It now. Recently, I bought a Retron 5, and this may seem weird, but I hated it. Looks too artificial like an emulator, although its image quality seemed really sharp. I feel a bit purist in this subject, like I should play old systems on old TVs and be honest. And to be honest, it doesn't turn me off like emulators sometimes do. Do you guys feel the same?
Well, you never bought the Retron 5, right?
No, but technically it is emulation, right? So.
Well, yes. I mean, It is not like one of those NES on a chip systems that is actually like, there's a computer in there, and I believe it's based on RetroArch technology, which was a bit controversial because that stuff is not supposed to be sold. It basically dumps the ROM into the system temporarily and beams it out to your TV. And because it does that, it allows you to do some cool things like apply translation patches, ROM hacks, things like that, which are very cool. But I gotta say, I got it, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, sometime.
Did you ever play it?
I hooked it up once. Mm. I tested it. No, and I brought it over to Famicom Dojo to show Hiro once. But then I realized that none of his TVs have HDMI out, so I couldn't actually use it. We just looked at it. But I used it at a party, and I was playing some of the NES games on there, and it looks very nice on the television, but it doesn't look like it very much looks like I'm hooking up a emulator or something and outputting to a TV. It's not. It looks too clean, if that makes any sense.
Oh, sure. Like by comparison, I hooked up my NES to play Excite Bike recently on my HGTV, which is something I typically don't do. It just looked like garbage. You know, Pac-Man I tried too.
Oh, something we totally forgot to mention is maybe we shouldn't spoil it. But you got me something while I was here.
Oh yeah, let's spoil it, because it'll show up in a video. But you have plenty of NES games now that you can use in your Retron 5.
26 right now.
Wow, I didn't give you that many, did I?
No, you no, but some of them you helped me acquire previously.
Oh, true. Yep.
But I've started import gaming. So I picked up an NES. Yeah, you think that's funny, don't you?
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's expensive for me. Yeah.
This, I suppose. This isn't too much of a surprise, though, because like I mentioned, like back when Midwest Gaming Classic happened earlier this year, that you know I was buying things for you for NES.
Yep.
So.
So I've got that NES, and I brought it back, and at first I was like trying to figure out how to connect it by RF, and I'm like, wait a minute, does an NES even work on a Japanese TV?
Oh yeah.
And I tried to look it up, and I can't find an answer to that anywhere.
Sure. So it's a good thing that you got the toaster.
But the toaster's nice, because I could hook it up through AV, and actually I hooked it up through RF to my HD TV, and I was like, oh, I guess you can. But then I realized that one's from Canada.
Oh, the TV is?
Yeah, my HD. Like, not the big one in my living room, the one in my game den, because that's the one Satoshi Matrix gave me.
Okay.
So,
it comes around again.
Another poutine shout-out.
Yeah, I know. We owe that guy some poutine.
Yes, we do. No, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, you gotta be poutine me on, you know?
All right. Ouch. Okay. So... I did hook it up, and that's through the, RGB ports and everything. Not RGB, sorry. Not RGB.
Oh, God.
RCA.
I'm going to try and bite my lip here. So one of the things that we tried to review but couldn't was the karaoke Sega add-on for the Dreamcast. Yep. And, like... of all the videos I found about that or other pieces of information, both of them complained about how RGB just didn't seem to work with the game. And I'm like, is this really such a thing that we have to mention this? I don't know. Whatever.
Well, anyway. It looked like garbage. But you know, you sit far enough away from it and it's fine. It was fine enough for my wife and I to enjoy a nice game of Dr. Mario, which is wonderful. And man,
we're talking about the Retron 5 now, right? Just to keep track of where we are.
No. We're talking about the NES that I brought.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. No, Retron 5. Another thing that I don't like about the Retron 5 is the built-in controller is kind of junk.
Mm.
But now that I actually have some real classic controllers, that might help the experience.
Right.
Because it does have ports for those.
Right.
Which is nice. But I don't know. The Retron 5 is... I bought it because I thought I could leave it hooked up to my TV in the living room, and that I don't have to drag systems in there when I want to play.
Right.
And also that it would be fun, and that I don't have to wear out my actual hardware. And I still think that's a good idea, and I wonder why I don't do it, but I don't know, there's something that just feels a little bit off. Like, I know I'm not stealing the games, because I'm using the actual cartridges to play them, but I don't know, it's like if I'm going to be using actual cartridges, I might as well use them on an actual system.
Sure.
I don't know.
And besides, you got to play Super Russian Roulette somehow.
Yes. So anyway, in your response to "Do you guys feel the same?" I'd say yes. But I still want to get a Retro Freak.
Mm.
I still think that's cool because it'll play TurboGrafx and PC Engine games as well. So that's very cool.
Okay, well, Lewis later asks if we got the NES Classic Edition. We've already answered that.
Nope.
The controller cable is outrageously small, he says. But that makes sense because it's supposed to be like a Wii Classic controller.
Yep.
Or cable. So.
Yep.
That's really all. Although. Sorry, I was just looking at my waveform. It looked like it was a lot of static. Although Phil Bond recently posted something on Facebook about how it's a little less than ideal for using in actual Wii games that require shoulder buttons because it doesn't have any. So.
But it's only supposed to be used for playing like NES games on the Wii.
Right. So. Well, there you go. So. Nathan Sheeks asks how much could it work. Vink chuck chuck if a vink chuck could chuck wood. That doesn't even rhyme.
How much wood could Nathan. A vink chuck chuck if a vink chuck could chuck wood? A lot. I mean, if I was gonna get into wood chucking, I wouldn't go halfway. I would like a vink chuck can't chuck wood, but if they could, it would be a lot.
That's enough of that. Ed Robinson asks, when is VinCon 2016 and who are the guests?
Ooh, 2016 is almost over. And it'll probably be 2017. And I would love to hear some guest suggestions. Please leave them in the comments.
Trey Dorn, who we already answered one question. So special. I guess we already All answered right. one of Luis's yep. too. How much crying is too much crying? And I have a suspicion what this means, and I want to pass.
All right. Yeah. okay. Any crying is too much.
That's no. That's anti some anyway. All right. David Bailey asks, are there any games on the NES Famicom Classic Edition you'd swap out for others? What would be your perfect list of 30 if you were in charge? Oof. I just want to answer the first part of that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely swap out Super C for Contra. That's a no-brainer.
I guess Super C is a good game in its own right. Don't get me wrong.
It's not as expensive to get on the cartridge though.
That's true. But I mean, they're both quite good games. I think I'd do the same with Double Dragon. I think Double Dragon 2 is probably a better game, but I think the first Double Dragon is more iconic. It was seen in The Wizard, and I think I remember a lot of, you know, playing it. I mean, ideally, I'd like to have both.
Mm-hmm.
For the Famicom Mini, though, I have absolutely no idea why. Maybe negotiation was too strong, but how Dragon Quest is not on there blows my mind.
Sure.
Dragon
Warrior isn't on the NES one, is it?
No, it's not. But they swapped several games for the Japanese one. You know, so because they've got River City Ransom in the Japanese one.
What?
Yep. I'd put that on the NES one. Let's see. What else would I swap out? I mean, there's some games that are, it's a very nice lineup of games, I have to say.
Indeed.
There's a very nice, and it goes through a lot of different, like, generations of games. So, hold on, let me grab the list.
Well, I mean, you know, and $2 a game, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not even counting the hardware.
There's no game on there that doesn't feel worth $2 for me. Let's see. We got you. Got your balloon fights. You got your Donkey Kongs. You got your man. What a good list. Nope. Like Rockman 2. I kind of like that on the Japanese one. They've got Final Fantasy 3, which mm-hmm. I think is a better game than Final Fantasy. So not that Final Fantasy is a bad game, but just like, you know, that's kind of the. It makes sense if you're going to include an epic RPG. And they couldn't include it on the NES one because no official localization until Nintendo DS.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Atlantis No Nazo is not one of the best games ever. But
it's on there? Well, I mean, it's like the 3D yeah. work.
What?
there's a 3D work.
There's no 3D on Atlantis No Nazo.
What You're am thinking I thinking of?
That's the one that uses the microphone.
That's what I meant. Yeah. This is microphone work. Yeah,
I'm really surprised that the sumo game that we did an episode on is on the Famicom Mini.
So people are going to get this and be like, oh, I know this from Famicom Dojo, and we'll say you're welcome.
Yeah. No, I couldn't think of many games to swap out of the Japanese lineup. They're really good. Gradius, Ghouls, you know, Makaimura, Galaga is maybe hasn't aged super well, but it's definitely iconic. You know what I mean? Oh, Ice Climbers. I don't need Ice Climbers.
No.
Let's get Gradius 2 on there.
Yeah.
In exchange for it. I think it's kind of sad that the NES the Famicom Mini is missing Castlevania 3.
Yeah, well,
because
I mean,
there's
would
some
you,
awesome, awesome music on there.
But that means emulating the chips.
Oh wait, the NES Mini doesn't have it either, does it?
I don't imagine it would. But
Well, I think they could emulate the.
Because that didn't have special music on it. So.
What, Castlevania 3?
Not on the NES.
Not on the NES, no. But I guess I could go without the Mario Golf game, but I'm not angry that it's there.
Yeah, it's not actually too bad of a game. Yeah.
No, it's not. Super Mario USA is on there, which is nice. Kirby. I would have loved if I could add a couple games to it. I would have loved Joy Mech Fight.
Mm-hmm.
That one would have been really fun on it, and add another year onto, you know, the different years they were. I mean, of course, if we're going for wish lists right now, it'd be great to have all the Rockman games on it, you know. But 2's a good choice. It's not my favorite of the series, but it's definitely like one of the most notable ones.
Right, like it's the most iconic to me, even if it is hard as balls.
Yeah. I would have liked to see on the Japanese system, I would have liked to see Kid Icarus. Is it on the NES version?
Oh god, I don't know.
I don't remember. But I mean I don't think they did a bad job with the lists. Dragon Quest should have been on the Dragon Quest and Mother should have been on the Japanese one.
Well, but, you know, along these lines, Sam Dawes asked if the Famicom Classic was as hard to get as the NES one, and we basically answered that. So,
yes, it was long sold out. I mean, the pre-orders sold out almost instantly. And,
how do you sell out of pre-orders? Won't that determine the whatever?
I'm guessing manufacturing takes a. I'm guessing from making an order to actually getting the final product out takes a number of weeks, possibly months. But yeah, it really seems. Maybe, okay, if I was Nintendo, I'd be shell-shocked, too. They produced, like, they produced 3 million Wiis, Wii U's. Well, not 3 million, like, no. Like, they're still selling off their initial run.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No.
Yep.
Then why would they announce they're ceasing production if they've already, if they haven't had to produce anything for the last 4 years?
Well, like, they're not all, like, together manufactured. But, like, because one of their semiconductor suppliers actually went out of business. So they've just been using the old stuff.
Okay. What?
This might be.
Plausible
this claim,
to me
this claim might be dubious. I'll have to source that. Maybe don't hold me to that. I'm not going to bet a steak on that. I'll bet 3 French fries. Add that to the record.
Okay. Thanks for listening. We're so glad to be back doing podcasts, and we'll be working on the other video things, you know, as we can over the holidays and into the new year. We'll actually have things like NES minis to.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, all right. I guess then, until next time, the dojo is
wondering why no one is concerned about whether we see underboob or not. Really? No, never. Never once have we had anybody go, there's Famicom Dojo's Vink. Perhaps if only I had accentuated my underboob further, perhaps Senpai would notice me. No, never. It never happens.
We really need to make sure that Lewistration's this Famicom Love Life game is out there, because
oh, we need to talk about that.
Now?
Not now.
Okay, later, after we've let everyone know about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.